Week number one, we talked about covenant. That's what we're talking about now for the next. It was supposed to be 6 weeks, but I've already deviated from that because I was going to do two this week and I only could get one. And I don't want to rush through anything. How many of you know the worst thing to do is to rush over stuff and to miss something? Right? And so I'd rather take my time and slow down. And if I don't have enough time to fill up the normal service that we have, but I got too much to put other stuff in it, we'll just quit early. Everybody likes, remember, we quit the Bible study 10 minutes early there. Everybody likes quitting early, right? Going home. We get to beat everybody to the restaurants. And so we talked about covenant. We talked about that there are 8 covenants in the scripture. And now I can actually add another one, and it's not a part of these, and it's different. It's not a part of the marriage. There's a marriage covenant. How many of you know that's a thing as well? There's a marriage covenant. Turn down a little. Turn down just a little bit, brother. There's a marriage covenant, right? And so what we end up having is these 8 covenants we're going to talk about are the covenants that God made to us. And remember last week, if you didn't hear it, we're going to hopefully have it on the website this week, at least the audio of it. And I think the Facebook from last week is up now where you can watch it, I believe. So if you want to go back and check out last week's and hear that, you can. We talked about the 8 different covenants. We talked about the Edenic covenant or the Edenic covenant. How many of you know there's potatoes, patatas, and home fries? So everybody says a lot of stuff different, right? It just depends on what it is. So I may be butchering these and mispronouncing them, but how many of you know God knows what I'm saying? And you get the principle. So we have the Edenic covenant, and the key word for that was rule. We're going to talk about that in a minute, to rule. That's what the covenant was about. And then there was the Adamic covenant, which was about redemption. Then there was the Noahic covenant, which is about restraint. And then there was the Abrahamic covenant, which is about restore. And then there was the Mosaic covenant, which is reveal, was the key word for that one. Then there's the Palestinian, and this is one of the ones that people leave out. Remember, I told you there were some believe there's 6 and some believe there's 8. How many of you know we can't agree on everything in the Word of God? We got some different ideas and options. How many of you know that's okay? That's okay. I'm going to talk about something in a minute. There's some people that believe the opposite way of me, and I'm going to tell you right now, I am not saying you are wrong and I am right. I'm saying this is what I believe and why I believe it, okay? And how many of you know it's up to each and every one of us to get into the scripture, to dive in, and to rightly divide the word, right? So even if I say something from here, if you disagree with it, please, please come and talk to me. Don't do it in the middle of the service, right? Let's wait till after the service. But this is the one stipulation I have, okay? If you want to come and talk to me about an issue that you believe that I am in the wrong about, I'm okay with it, but bring scripture to back it up. Amen? Don't just come and tell me you're wrong, you're wrong. Come and say, hey, I don't believe the way you believe. This is why. And you know what? With us sitting down and talking about it, we may, one of us, change our mind. We may not, and that's still okay. Right? You're still my brother. I still love you. You're still my sister. I still love you. And I have disagreements with my physical brother. Not all the time, but I when I was a kid, I still loved him. I still cared about him. He's still part of my family. Amen? Spiritual world works the same way, right? So, and this is the one thing. I've never had anybody change their mind through an argument. When's the last time somebody came at you hard and argued with you about something and you were like, oh, you're right, I see, I'm coming to your side now? Never, right? It actually, honestly, pushes you the other direction. So if there's a thing that you see and you're like, hey, I don't agree with that, man, come talk with me. Let's sit down. Let's go through it. But let's do it with scripture because that's where it matters, right? Amen? So Winnie, going back to the Palestinian covenant, the key word there is return. Return. And then there's the Davidic covenant, which is about rain, rule and reign, not rainwater coming from the sky, but rule and reign. So you have rule in the first one, you have reign with the Davidic covenant. And then at the end, the last one, we have the new covenant. And that key word for that one was relationship or regeneration, right? Regenerate. And what my plan is for us to go through these covenants and talk about them and see what the word says about them and see what was promised. We talked about there were unilateral and bilateral covenants. Bilateral means there's something for both sides to do. Unilateral means God did it regardless of what we do. How many know that's there? He sent his son to die for me whether I accept it or not, right? That's a covenant. That's a thing that he said. He said, I'm going to do this for you regardless of what you do. Then there are some, like the one we're going to talk about today, where he says, this is what you're going to do, and because you do this, I'm going to do this. Or, I'm going to do this if you do this. That's what my dad used to call if-thens in the Word of God. If you do this, then this will happen. I mean, there's a lot of that in the Scripture. And the reason why we're talking about these covenants and these things is because it's just like the apps on your phone or the things that papers you sign when you get a loan or you do anything. You go to them and they say, hey, these are the terms and conditions. And you click, I agree with those terms and conditions, and send it off and never read a thing, one of those terms and conditions. So you might be doing some stuff that's not right according to the terms and conditions that you agreed to. How many of you know there's a lot of Christians that agree to terms and conditions of their salvation, of their life, of their ministries that they have, and they never read the conditions of them? And because of it, they're doing it wrong. That's the thing, okay? So what we want to do with this series is to go through and to understand what the terms and conditions were, what the covenants were there. You can't have the promises in the Word of God if you don't know they're there, right? How can you walk in them? How can you claim them? How can you say, this is what God has for me if you don't know he has it for you? Same thing I tell you guys with my iPad, man. This iPad does so much stuff. You know what? I preach off of it. I watch some YouTube videos, and I read scripture, and I read my study book because I got it on Kindle instead of having it in a paper so I can blow it up really big and be able to see all the words, right? I'm getting into yeah. I'm just saying. So, the reason why we're going to do all of this is so that we understand the unilateral, the bilateral. Another way that it's explained, and I heard it explained while I was studying this week, is there are conditional covenants and unconditional covenants. Same principle. So, bilateral, unilateral, conditional, unconditional. And so, going through all these, we're going to read. So, as we see, the Edenic covenant was, the key word was to rule, and the covenant was made with Adam. It was made with Adam in the Garden of Eden. You can guess that by the way that it's spelled, by what the term is. And it was a bilateral covenant. It was a, you're going to do this, and I'm going to do this. If you do this, then this will happen. How many of you know some of the if-thens are good? Some of the if-thens are bad. If you do this, bad things will happen. If you do this, good things will happen. Do you know, and everyone's like, well, how do you see that in the Bible? Ever heard a little thing called you reap what you sow? What you plant, that's what you get. If I plant apples, I don't get pineapples, right? If I plant grapes, I don't get plums, right? There's certain things that what I plant, I reap. It says if I give out judgment, what do I get back? Judgment. So what would the alternative of that be? Because there's a lot of things in the Word of God that say, if you do this, then this will happen. But if you don't do this, that means this won't happen, right? So if I plant love, what should I get back? Love. If I plant kindness, what should I get back? Gentleness, what should I get back? Doesn't always work that way, because there's some people that don't that are going to be mean and rude and upset regardless of what happens, right? But that's when you love them, and that's when it helps to change their life, because they see, no matter what I did to you, you still loved me. How and why? And it gives us an opportunity. You may never get to that, but you may plant that seed for them to think, and then the next person they see has that issue, and it goes through the same way. So remember all those things. And as we get into the covenant, as we get into talking about these things, I want you to understand. I'm going to read some scripture, and then we're going to go through and bust it down. So the reason why, if you look on your notes, it looks a lot different this week. So I just put the verses so that you would have them. And I'm putting big enough, I might make them smaller next week. Wednesday, what we did for our Wednesday morning Bible study, we just went over this and sat down and talked about it. So on the Wednesday morning Bible study. And so they all said about 10 minutes in, I don't have enough room to write stuff. I need more paper. And so I left this open so you can write as much notes as you want to on it. It's not because I don't have notes. I have them. I can give them to you. But I'm going to give them to you while I talk, and that way you can write down what you need to write down. So let me get into reading, and we're going to go to Genesis 1, chapter 1, verse 26 through 31. If you have your Bibles, you can open them up and read with us. If you don't, it's on the screen, I think. Verse 26, it says, and then God said, let us make man after our image, after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heaven and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Then verse 27 says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. So one of the first things we see here, and this is one of those things I'm going to tell you that some people are going to be like, I don't really agree with that, and I'm okay with it. I'm going to tell you why I agree with it, and then I'm going to give you some scriptures why I agree with it, okay? This is the first place that we see the Trinity in the Bible. Right? This is the first place that we see him speak, and it's not about me and I and I'm going to do this. It's about we, it's about us, it's about our, right? And you see that. Now, the different side, we believe in the Trinity here. This is what we teach here, right? And one of the things that you see is they say, well, this was King James Version. This was written when they had the kings and the queens, and the kings would say, let us do this, right? Let us do that. And that was the Elizabethan English, and that's why it says us and we in there. This is the thing. It comes from the Greek and the Hebrew, so I don't understand why it would be that way there, okay? So that's one thing. The second thing, and again, I'm not saying people are wrong. I'm saying this is what I believe and why, right? So the word Trinity, if you look it up in the dictionary, it says the Christian Godhead as one God in three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we see this a bunch of different places, although we don't see the word Trinity ever mentioned. How many know the word Trinity is not in the Word of God anywhere? And that's one of the things that they say, well, that word is not in the Bible, so it can't be right. I want to ask you a couple questions really quick. How many of you believe that God is omnipotent? How many believe he's omnipotent? Omnipotent means having unlimited power, able to do anything. How many of you know that the word omnipotent is never mentioned in the Bible? But yet God is. It's a character. It's a word that describes the character of God. Omnipotent is a word, but almighty appears, which is having power, right? In the Old Testament, often in every single book of the Old Testament, almighty is mentioned, right? And it's mentioned often dozens of times. El Shaddai is the Hebrew name for God that evokes omnipotence as the almighty. El Shaddai means God most powerful or God almighty. So just because the word isn't there doesn't mean that it's not a thing, okay? Second thing, let me ask you this. How many of you think that God is omnipresent? He's everywhere. He's everywhere all the time, right? Omnipresent is not in the scripture. If you go to your Bible and you look up omnipresent, it's not there. What's that? It's eternal. Yeah, omnipresent. So when you come down to it, you see the one place that it describes it and that it says it is Matthew 18, 19 through 20. And this is one of the things that shows that he would be omnipresent, right? It says, again, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am among them. Now, there are many other scriptures that explain that, but how many of you know that's to be true? How many of you know God is here right now, and he's across the street at Bay Street Baptist, and he's down at the Church of God in Umatilla, and the Baptist Church in Umatilla, and the cross over there, and he's a lot of different places because we're gathered in his name, right? Just because it's not there doesn't mean it's not a thing, and that's what I believe. Then we look in the scripture and you say, well, where do you find it in the scripture? Since it's not there, where do you find the alternative to it? Matthew 28, 19. You have to write this down. You got to write all of them down. Matthew 28, 19. Jesus, he tells them, he says, go baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. That's one place. Corinthians 13, 14 says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. That's another place. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Ephesians 4, 4 through 6. There is one body and one spirit, just as also you were called into hope, into one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is over and through all and in all. 1 Peter 1 and 2, to the chosen. Then we skip ahead a little bit. It says, chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, sanctified by the work of the Spirit, to the obedience of Jesus Christ. You guys get where I'm going with this? We see it all through the Word of God, whether the Word is there or not, okay? And then you can go on. Revelations has it. There's one in John. And we can go through it. So just because it's not there doesn't mean it's not a thing. When we see the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, when they make them after our image, how many of you know we have a body, we have a soul, we have a spirit? The difference between God and us is He can separate the two, the three. And how do I know that? Because Jesus on the cross said, my God, why have you forsaken me? He says, I pray this way, our Father, which is in heaven. This is how you should pray. He also said, the Holy Spirit can't come unless I go, right? So we go through all these different things, and where is Jesus now? He's at the right hand of the Father. When he was baptized, right? He was baptized. There was a voice from heaven. Jesus was in the water. The Spirit descended like a dove. Same thing, three of them, same time. You guys follow me? Okay, that is why I believe that way, right? Again, use these things, get in your scripture, read about it, and study it, and study it. Then we keep on going. Verse 28 says this, and God blessed them, and he said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in it, its fruit. You shall have them for food. And to every beast on the earth, and to every bird in the heavens, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food. And it was so. And God saw everything he made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. So he did all of that in one day, right? And we go to the thought process, and I've heard it said before that the days were different than they are now, that they were longer or they were shorter. And that's why Adam, and I'm going to talk about this in a little bit, Adam lived to be 900 years old, 900 and something years old, and that's because the days were different. I don't believe that. I disagree, because the scripture says that he created the sun and the moon. There was the evening and the morning. That's what it was. It was that way then. It's that way now. How many of you know our days don't get shorter and shorter and shorter? We still have the same amount of time in the morning and the evening. How many of you know it's been that way since we've been alive? How many of you know it's been that way since before we've been alive? Okay, so there's that. We're going to go on. Genesis 2, 5 through 17. So let me move back. In what we just talked about, God said a bunch of different things. He said, I've created this for this purpose, I've created this for this purpose, and I've given you this for this purpose, and this is what's going to happen. And it's good, right? All right, let's go to the next one. Genesis 2, 5 through 17. And I'm going to skip a little bit in here, J-Dog, so just stay with me when I say skip down. We're going to skip down to a verse. You got me? All right, thank you, man. When no bush of the field was yet in the land, and no small plant of the field had yet sprung up, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain on the land. There was no man to work the ground. And a mist was going up from the land and was watering the whole face of the ground. I'm going to stop right there. This is the reason why nobody believed Noah, when we get to the Noahic covenant, that it was going to rain. Because it didn't. It came up from the ground and took care of everything. What needed to happen, what needed to be there. It didn't overwater. It didn't underwater. It did everything the way it was supposed to do it. Why? Because God said, this is good, right? One of the things about the Garden of Eden that we need to understand, how many of you know the atmospheres that scientists try to make where everything is perfect, right? The bubbles, the sphere, things that they tried to do years ago, the ecodomes or whatever they call them. Y'all probably know more than that than me. But how many of you know it's still not perfect? There's issues with it. In the Garden of Eden, there were no issues. Everything was perfect. The plants took care of everything they needed to take care of. The animals lived together in unity with people. People, men had dominion over them, as it said earlier, and we're going to get to that again in a second. But everything worked perfectly. There wasn't anything out of place, anything out of order, and it all did the way it was supposed to do. Right? So we get into it here. It says a mist was up from the land and watering the whole face of the ground. Then God formed the man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living creature. Verse 8 says, and the Lord God planted a garden in Eden. In the east, he put the man who he had formed. And out of the ground, the Lord God made to spring up every tree that is pleasant for sight and good for food. So there were no bad trees. There was nothing that didn't produce fruit or yield something that was beneficial. You guys see that? Okay. You say, why are you saying all this? It's going to make sense, I promise. At least I think it is. If not, I'll always think it should have. You know what I mean? Verse 10. A river flowed out of Eden to water the garden, and there it divided, and it became four rivers. The name of the firstborn of the fission, I don't know if I said that right, but you guys are with me. It is the one that flowed around the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold, and the gold of the land is good. Bdellium and onyx stone are there. The name of the second river is Gihon. It is the one that flowed around the whole land of Cush. The name of the third river is the Tigris, which flows east of Assyria. And the fourth river is the Euphrates. Now, I just read all that for a purpose. Most people would take that out when they're talking about what they're talking about at this moment, but I want you to see something later. So remember what I just talked about. Four rivers, they come together, they spring out. That's where the garden is located. You guys with me? Okay. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to keep it. Now, we see right here, man is supposed to work. He's supposed to work. We are. Scripture later on says, if you don't work, you don't eat. Right? So we are supposed to work. And this is in the perfect world that God created, work was not hard and difficult. Work was fun. Work was enjoyable. How do I know that? In a little while, one of the consequences, and I'm jumping ahead, is that we would toil to bring forth things from the land. Remember, everything's perfect. Everything's the way it should be. Everything is provided for us, and everything is good. Everything is good. The Lord God took the man. Oh, I just read that. 16. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, you may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of knowledge and good of good and evil you shall not eat. For the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. So, he tells them, look at all this that I've created, and it's yours. This one thing you can't have. Do you know what one thing we want? The thing we can't have. Right? Do you know the one thing that we're drawn to? What we can't have. The negative. How many of you know, as people, when the fall came and the nature changed and we had the sinful nature, how many of you know we started seeing everything negative? So, to the Israelites, he gave them 10 things. Don't do it. Don't do it. Do you know what they wanted to do? Those 10 things. Do you know to this day when you ask people, what does it mean to be the Christian? Like, you can't do those 10 things. Like, they don't focus on any of the things that are blessings, that are good, that God does for his believers. You understand? Like, there's so many blessings that come to us that are way outnumber the things that are negative. We see here, God gave them everything. Do you want to know another thing? And I'm going to go back to money. Y'all ready? So here it is. You know the one thing? God says, 90% is yours. Just give me 10%. Do you know what we want? 10%. We want it all. It's mine. It's my money and I want it now. Right? J.G. Wentworth. There it is. That's what we think. Not understanding everything that we own is his. Everything. Even the stuff he lets us have. That's one of the things with my kids, man. My kids, I love them. But you know what? All the stuff in my house, they have access to. But all the stuff in the house is not theirs. You with me? They have access to everything I have in the house. And there's some stuff that I'm not going to give them right now. I'm not going to give it to them. Why? Because it'll hurt themselves. I ain't going to let my 12-year-old see it, jump in the car, take it around for a spin. Why? She's not ready for it. She's not ready for it. She's going to end up having more issues than she is going to have good times. Would it be fun at 12 years old to just take off in mom and dad's car? Yes, it would. She's back in the back, thumbs up, like, yes, let's do it, Dad. No, we're not doing that. You don't get the car, kid. It's one of those things, right, that he doesn't give us the things that we don't need. If you understand the rules and the regulations, even if you go to the Levitical law and you put that a part of what's going on and the dietary restrictions that are there and all the stuff that came with it, we're going to talk about that dietary restrictions in a minute. Y'all get ready. Food and money. We're talking about it in church. Everybody's like, no. Anyway, this is the thing. Every rule that he gives us is so that it will benefit us, not him. Benefit us, not him. Anyway, we're going to go on down. I'm going to come to this, and we're going to talk about man's purpose. What we just talked about in Scripture, that God says, this is why I created you. If you remember a minute ago, we read, and it said, there's nobody to work the land. Let's create man. Why were we created? To work. To work the land. For a purpose. How many of you know everyone is seeking their purpose? What is my purpose in life? Especially when they turn, you know, they call midlife crisis. Around 40. I guess I don't know if I hit it or not. Maybe I did. Never mind. Don't answer that, babe. What happens is everybody wants to find their purpose. Everyone gets to a point and says, why am I here? What am I supposed to be doing? What is my purpose? Do you know another way that they say that same exact thing? What is the will of God for my life? What's my purpose? What's my ministry? What am I called to? What am I called for? In this point right here, God created Adam and he said, this is the purpose for which you're created. You guys ready? First of all, verse 28, God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Now, we see that and we run straight towards we're supposed to have babies and replenish the earth. But how many of you know the multiplication, the fruitful part of what's going on is planting seed and watching it grow, right? Not to get into biology, but what do you do to have a kid? You plant the seed and you watch it grow, right? It's the same principle. He was put in the garden to work the land, to help multiply the fruit that was there. All of the fruit, not just some of it. All of it. See that? He was made to replenish the earth. The second thing, he was supposed to have control over the resources of the earth. He said, be fruitful, multiply. Then it says, fill the earth and subdue it. What does subdue it mean? Bring it under control. So man, human, is supposed to be in control of all of the world, of everything that happens. How many of you know we're far from in control of stuff? So we like watching this show. We like watching this show. And they send these guys out into the thing. They bleep out most of the bad words. I'm just saying. But it's one thing. It was on a TV show. So if you start watching it and they say something, you'd be like, Pastor said to watch this? You guys feel me. They drop these 10 people off in the middle of nowhere with 10 items. And they leave them to stay as long as they can. And then the winner, like the first couple seasons, the winner gets $500,000 if whoever stays the longest. And then the next season, they change it up all the way through. I think there's like 7, 8 seasons or something like that. But one of the things that you understand is that man is not in control of the beasts of the world. Right? There's bears and there's mountain lions and there's wolves and there's all these different things. And they're trying to find fish and trying to find food and trying to do all these different things. There's a few of them that understand the edibles that are around that are still on the earth. How many of you know there's a lot of stuff we can eat that gives us protein, right? One of the things that a year ago, something, I think it was during COVID time, I was doing a plant-based diet, right? And one of the things that I watched, it was a show I watched, and the guy said he was one of the fifth strongest men in the world. So that means he's number five, because if he was number four, they would have said he was one of the fourth strong. You guys with? So he's one of the fifth strongest men in the world, and he is a vegetarian. He only eats plant-based food. And they said, well, how do you expect to be strong as an ox and not eat meat? He said, have you ever seen an ox eat meat? Well, okay. Well, so there's that. So this is the thing. The way God designed everything, we can get everything that we need from vegetation. And I'm going to get to that in just a minute when I talk about dietary restrictions. Don't worry, I'm not going to put on you. I'm just going to tell you what happened in the Word of God. Okay? So, he says, control the earth, fill it, and subdue it. So we are to be in control of the world. That's what we were created for. That was our purpose. How many know, sometimes we don't live up to our purpose. Anyway. Then the next thing we come to, and this is number three, and it goes with what I just said about subdue it. It says, subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heaven, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. So again, we should be able to command animals to do things. How many of you know, if you have a dog, you probably make them sit, maybe roll over, maybe fetch a ball. If you have a cat, they're going to look at you like you're dumb. Like, here, go get it. I'm like, you go get it. Right? How many of you know, there's differences. Then there's some that we can't tame. Now, there's some men that tame, you see them as zookeepers and stuff like that, and they get really close to animals, and they can interact with animals, and they can do, you go to SeaWorld, and they got all kind of animals that work on command and do certain things. So there's shows that it's available and can be done, but we don't live in it anymore. Why is that? It's part of the issues that come from what we're talking about, the covenant. The next thing we get into, if you go from that verse, that was verse 28. No, I want to go back to something else. I'm going to go to verse number 8, right? I think it's chapter 1, verse 8. Maybe it's not. Nope, it's chapter, I don't know where it is. It's somewhere. You guys with me? It'll be okay. Oh, Genesis 2, 5 through 7. I didn't read that part yet, did I? I'm going to read something to you yet. Let me read some more. Uh-oh, is right. I missed something. Thank you, baby girl. Genesis 2, 5 through 17. No, I didn't read all of that. I didn't read all of that. So see, look, I'm just lost in it. We're going to go to number 8 on that section right there. And it says this, and the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the west, and there he put a man who he had formed. So it talks about it in the first chapter. It pops forward again to the second chapter, right? And so it's going here, and it says, and out of the ground the Lord made spring up every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. Then it says in verse 16, it says, and the Lord God commanded, you may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat. Again, since the beginning of time, we've been focusing on what we can't have. Don't eat of the tree. What do they want to eat of? The tree. Do you know in the garden, this gets into the very, very end of it. But do you know it talks about the lion and the lamb together, right? Do you know in the garden, the lions didn't want to eat the lambs? Do you know that they weren't sitting by the side being like, man, that pork chop sure look good right now, right? They didn't do that. Why? Because every animal was a vegetarian. Now, I really like bacon, so I'm not telling y'all to go be vegetarians. I'm just telling you what it talks about here, right? And we'll see as we go forward where this covenant that is broken changes things. God doesn't change. The covenant changed. Why? Because we, again, fell down. What we talked about last week, covenants are binding. He doesn't break them. We break them, right? So he tells them, hey, everything is here for you to eat. Enjoy. It'll take care of everybody and everything. Everything works, and it is what? Good. He designed it all that way. And he said, this is how it's going to be. You're going to rule and reign. Do you understand why now when I talk about the Edenic covenant that I tell you the key word is rule? That's what was supposed to happen. That was the design. We were to rule and to reign. Then number 5, we see that we are to keep the garden. It's under our charge. It's under our care. I love the fact we go jeep riding, and I like going hiking and camping, and I'm hopefully going to do that at the end of the week. I'm excited about it, backpack camping. I like doing a lot of stuff out in the wild, but do you know what I hate when I get out there? how everybody that's come before me has left their beer bottles and their cups and their glasses and their clothes and their shoes and their stuff, and they destroy the land that was given to man to take care of, to keep, to do. Well, I want to encourage you. On the back of my Jeep, I have a thing that was covered up now by my little satchel thing on the back of it. But my tire cover says tread lightly. If you go somewhere, make it better than when you left. Regardless of whether you're out in the woods or you're at a restaurant. If you go to a restaurant, don't leave a mess for them to clean up. Straighten up. Clean up after yourself. How many of you know we were supposed to keep and take care of everything that he puts in front of us? That's other people's stuff too. You borrow something from somebody, give it back to them in better shape than what they gave it to you. Don't run it down and then give it to them all jacked up. That was a squirrel, but it kind of works. You know what I mean? He's in the back looking at me. Rob points to him every now and again. Dietary restrictions. Keep the garden. We're supposed to keep the garden. When no bush of the field, verse 5, when no bush of the field was yet in the land, no small plant of the field had yet sprung up, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain on the land, there was no man to work the ground. The reason why he didn't bring it up is why? There was no man to work the ground. Why were we created? What was our purpose? We were created to work. Now, we were also created to give him pleasure and to take care of him and to serve him. That's another week. We'll get to it later. And a mist was going up from the land and was watering the whole face of the ground. And then the Lord God formed the man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living creature. Why was man a living creature? To keep, and number 6, to protect the garden. To protect the garden. The Lord God took the man and he put him in the garden. Verse 15, the Lord God took the man and he put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to keep it. Now, that's the why and the what of what's supposed to happen on our end. You guys with it? There's some dietary restrictions. There's some things we're supposed to do. We're supposed to work. We're supposed to take care of things. We're supposed to eat certain things and not eat other things. And then we get to the condition of what's happening, right? The condition was, don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Again, and there the Lord God commanded the man, saying, you may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for the day that you eat it, you shall surely die. So God, one of the things God does, and he tells you what not to do, and a lot of times after it, he tells you what will happen if you do it. Again, the if-thens. Don't do this. Don't do that. One of the studies, one of the things that we talked about last week, we talked about intermingling, where God says, go, he says, destroy all these people, destroy all these people, everything that they have, all the animals, all the livestock, all the houses, all the everything, destroy it. Don't let it come in, because if you let a little bit in, it'll pull you away from me, right? If you do this, then this will happen. Just another instance of that, right? So God tells us right here, he says, if you eat of the tree, death will come. And one of the first things that the enemy does is come and challenge what God has told you and what the consequences are going to be. He did it with Jesus when he was in the wilderness. Changed his bread to stuff so you can eat. Because the word of God said this. And then Jesus understand. See, this is why it's important to rightly divide the word. Because there's some scriptures in here. I don't want to. But if I wanted to, I could twist and make them say what I want them to say to get you to do some stuff. But that's not what's supposed to happen. I'm supposed to rightly divide the word. As the pastor, I'm supposed to rightly divide the word and to give you what I believe the word of God says, and for you to take it home, research it, study it, look at it, and then apply it to your life if it's supposed to be there, and kick it out if it's not. My dad said this, all right. I'm going to come back to what my dad said. I was watching a thing on YouTube. How many of you like YouTube? I was watching a thing on YouTube, and it's a pastor, and he does all kinds of topics. And one of the things that he talked about was the pastor being a false prophet, certain pastors that were labeled false prophets and why they were labeled those things. And one of the things he said at the end of it, he's like, I'm not gonna put my hands on whether they're false prophets or whether they're not false prophets. I'm not going to do that. But what I am going to tell you is everybody gets stuff wrong. Do I tell you that all the time? Not everybody gets everything right. Right? There's going to be some stuff that I believe that may not be the way that it is. I'm not going to tell it to you if I don't believe it. I would not stand in this place and say, this is the word of God. This is what the word of God says. And this is what you need to do with it in your life. If I thought I was harming you, I would not. That's what I'd be doing if I gave you the wrong information. And that's why I say everything that I say, take it home and study it before you put it in your life. Because my dad said this, even a cow is smart enough to nuzzle out the briars before he eats. When a cow gets down and he gets stuff and he nuzzles out the stuff he doesn't want and he gets what he wants. My dog at the house, she'll pick up some stuff. She'll be like, oh, I don't want that. We give her medicine in a piece of cheese, try and hide it from her. She'll put it in there. She'll spit that pill out, nuzzle it to the side and swallow the cheese. Why? Because I want the good. I don't want that. You know what? There's going to be some teaching that some of these guys that you're saying, I ain't ever listening to them. They're wrong. They're wrong. They're wrong. Now, there's some you need to stay away from. I will tell you this. But you know, one of my favorite guys to listen to, I love listening to him. We don't believe doctrinally the same way, but he has some amazing thoughts on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Some stuff that I never really realized that I got in the scripture and I learned. I went and talked to other people that I know. I'm like, hey, what about this? What about this? And it lines up with the word of God and it's true and it's very, very good. God may want to give me some nugget out of that and me be smart enough to push that to the side. Just saying. Now, I'm not saying just listen to everybody on the thing. I'm saying take whatever you're given and judge it on the word of God before you eat it. One of the things that happens here is the enemy comes to him and says, did God really say that? I mean, I don't know if that's really. One of his main things, and this is part of the book, man, part of the lesson on Wednesday. You guys need to come to that if you can. Part of the thing is that the enemy's job is to misdirect you from the truth. Sometimes he does it by just giving you an outright lie that seems believable. Most of the time he gives you a half-truth. He gives you a part of the word of God and mixes it to what he wants it to be. That's what he did with Jesus. Again, going back to him. He says, throw yourself on here because the word of God says that he provides his angels to charge over you lest you dash your foot on a rock. So you jump off of here and he'll protect you. What did Jesus say? He says, don't tempt the Lord your God. Right? I know the word, I know what it says, and I know this part that you're not telling me about it, right? I know there's a side that's there that you're not telling me. When he comes to him, he says, did he really say that? Oh, you're not going to die. You're going to be all right. You know what? I'm going to ask you guys a trick question. When they ate the apple, did death occur? Remember, it's a trick question. Did death occur? Spiritual death occurred at the moment they ate the apple. Physical death didn't come till later. Physical separation from God came at that moment from man. One of the things, and I'm getting into next week, I need to shut up. Physical death came. One of the things that we see is that, I've heard a lot, and again, I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm giving you a difference of opinion on a different thought on a different take, and I want you to look at it. If I asked most of you if we were created in God's image, you would say yes. Hold your thought. What we see ends up happening in Genesis, and I'm going to read it to you. Let me read it to you first. This is the book of the generations of Adam. Genesis chapter 5, verse 1. It's not in your notes, so you have to either look it up or write it down so you can have it in a minute. Genesis 5, 1 through 4. This is the book of the generations of Adam. When God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. Male and female, he created them. He blessed them. He named them man when they were created. When Adam had lived 130 years, he fathered a son in his own likeness after his image and named him Seth. The days of Adam after he fathered Seth were 800 years, and he had other sons and daughters. And thus, the days of Adam that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. So, we see in here that God created Adam, and he created him in his own likeness. But when Seth was created, whose likeness was he in? Not God's. He was in Adam's. When we were born, we were all born with a sin nature that we inherited because of the fall of man. So when we were born, you don't have to tell a little kid, you don't have to send him to no school so he learns how to say no. Right? What happens? No. Hey, do this. Nope. They can barely talk and they already know how to do that. Why? Because the sin nature pulls us to do what we're not supposed to do. The separation came with Adam and Eve spiritually from God the moment that they ate the apple. This is one of the other lies of the enemy that comes into our life. Say, these are the consequences that are going to happen if you do this. They may not be instantaneous. All right, y'all ready for a Tob story? When I was a little kid, they used to say, don't stare at the sun, you'll go blind. I'm like, no, I won't. Look, I ain't blind. Do you know how jacked up my eyesight is today as I get older? Do you know the little bit of damage that I did then didn't show, but it does now? Right? That there are some consequences that come, some problems from if you do this, then this will happen. And we do this and it doesn't happen. So we keep doing it because it's not happening. And we keep doing it because it's not happening. Not understanding that the judgment, that the issue, that the problem, the consequence of it is going to come down the road years later. Do you know what? There's some sin that you have in your life that you are not going to stand accountable for until the day you stand in front of him. And it will come then. And the consequence that he said will happen because of that will be given to you then. There's going to be some stuff that you do right now and the tree grows really fast and the fruit comes quickly, right? When you plant that seed. There's some stuff that I do right now and in 5 minutes I'm reaping the benefit of it, good or bad. Right? That's why most people when they exercise quit because they don't see results. Because we want it to happen now. Do you know, there's a lot of sin that's in our lives, a lot of things that are in our life that would cause physical, spiritual death to us that may not happen today, but it will happen. Do you want me to pry a little bit or you want me to just move quickly? Okay, I'll just move on quickly. Physical death came. Man was not created to pass away. Animal was not created to pass away. We weren't. We were supposed to live forever in the garden. That was the plan. But we broke the plan. We were spiritually separated from him. So the two types of death that we get, first is physical death. We see Adam, 930 years he lived, and then he died. One of the things about evolution that you see is that it started from a little amoeba. And then it went to a toad or something, and then it went to this, and then it went to that, and then it went to a monkey, and then here we are, right? Cousin Fred's at the zoo, and we can visit him if we want. He's in the cage. You know, that's, anyway, I'm being facetious, but you get what I'm saying. One of the things that is wrong with the thought process of evolution is that it's always getting better, getting better, getting better, growing stronger, growing stronger, growing stronger. And although we do see people growing stronger, I don't believe that that's because of evolution. I believe that's because of stuff they put in the chicken to make the chicken grow really fast so we can all eat it. That's my opinion, right? That's not scripture, that's my opinion. So, are we getting stronger? Are we getting bulkier? Are we faster than we've ever been? Yes, you can see all those things. But also, one of the things that evolution doesn't explain is death. Because if evolution comes and you only get better and better and better, then my knees should be getting better. My eyes should be getting better. My looks should, never mind, let's leave that one out of it. So all these things should be getting better, not worse, right? That's one of the things that debunks the evolution in my mind, other than the Word of God says it didn't happen, it happened this way. So there's that. But when we see what happened, the consequence that came, and again, I'm talking a little bit more about next week because that's what we're going to talk about next week, the Adamic covenant. But when we see all these things that happen, we see that this physical death starts happening. Do you know the moment that you die, you head towards death. I mean, the moment that you live, you're born, you start dying. The skin cells off your body starts dying, right? There's parts of you that fall off and die. Hair comes out, all these different. I mean, as soon as you start, you're born, your body starts to decline, not get better. Now, it gets stronger, it grows bigger for a little while, but then what ends up happening? That's what happens. That is all a result of the breaking of this covenant. That's what God told him. He said, if you eat this apple, it wasn't an apple, it was a fruit. But if you eat of this fruit, the fruit of this tree, you'll surely die. The enemy comes in and says, but really? Like, I don't think that's right. I think you'll be all right. Maybe you just do a little bit and we'll see what happens. Right? Nobody just jumps headfirst into sin. Nobody just runs and does a big cannonball into it. What happens? We kind of put our toe in a little bit and feel the water some, and then a little. You ever seen a kid do that? You put them in the corner, and as they're coming out of the corner, they take a little bit of a step away from the corner a little bit, and then they stay there for a second, and you're not paying attention. They come a little bit further away, and next thing you know, they're over here. And you're like, get back in the corner. I'm like, right? Y'all ever seen that? That's how we do it. That's what we do. We inch a little bit, and that's how the enemy comes to us, little by little by little. What do they say? How does an ant eat an elephant? One bite at a time. One little bite at a time. Right? That's how we end up falling away. And what happens is God lays it out and says, this is what it is. And the enemy comes to us and says, is it really? I don't really think that's it. Let's just try it a little bit and see. We're like, well, okay. And then the next thing we know, we're in left field. So far away from where we should be. Cool thing is, we're going to talk about the answer to that next week. That means y'all have to come back. Y'all ready? The other thing that we have that we see is spiritual death. It brings us spiritual death. And again, Genesis 5:3, it says, when Adam had lived 130 years, he fathered a son in his likeness after his image. We're not created in God's image. We're created in the image of man, who has issues, who has problems, who is separated from God. As we go through these different covenants, as we go through here, remember, I told you this is going to be a different series. I'm not going to give you answers. I'm not going to give you stuff. I'm going to give you information to go home and look at and read at and research and find out for yourself what the Word of God is. As we go on through these, remember the Adamic word, key word? If anybody remembers what the Adamic key word was, is redemption. So that's what we're going to talk about next week. And we may get into the other one. We may not. I may just hit them one at a time. I don't want to go over too fast. I want to make sure that I cover everything. I was worried I didn't have enough material for today, but you look at the time. We've had plenty of material. So I'm going to let you guys go today. What I want you to do is this. Again, I'm going to encourage you on Facebook and on here. We've got events coming. We got things happening. But I think the thought, rhetorical question. Don't lift your hand. Don't raise your hand. You guys with me? Are you supposed to raise your hand? Dwayne, put your hand down, man. Put it down, Dwayne. How many of you this week, over the last 7 days, told one person a day about Jesus, one different person a day about Jesus? How many of you did it? Remember, I encouraged you last week to do it, to do it, to do it. He's like, well, I'm uncomfortable doing it. Again, remember what we talked about when we had the mix and the mingle time? That's what we used to call it. You could remember mingle time. We had a time where you get to know each other. It was while we were waiting on being able to do the Facebook thing, and you guys got to walk around and talk. And I said, if you're uncomfortable doing it, just keep doing it, and you'll become comfortable with it. You'll get to know the people. You'll get to know who they are. You'll understand. You'll form relationships. And do you know what's important about those relationships? When I have an issue or problem, do you know who I call? People I have a relationship with that I can trust, that I can know is there for me, to carry me, to bring me through things. That's what I do. That's what this place is about. It's not just about coming to sing songs, although worshiping God does have freedom, does bring joy, all the things I said earlier. It's not just about hearing these messages, these somebody talk from up here to tell you what the Word of God says. You could read the Word of God all by yourself at home. I'm not saying that you will. Most of the people that say, well, I study at home, that's why I don't go to church, they don't hardly ever crack that thing open. I know a couple people that very rarely step into the house of God that are in the Word daily, and I know them. So I know they are. But do you know, for the most of us, most people, again, like I said last week, this is the only meat that you get out of the Word of God. When you go home, you let the world fill you full of stuff, but you give God 45 minutes of this dude talking. You probably thought it was 35 minutes. If it was 45, you would stay at home, huh? No. Do you know that's what happens, right? It's not just about the Word of God. It's about the fellowship and the relationship. The Bible says it's not good that man should be alone. So he created the woman. He created fellowship, relationship. Why? So that we can come together and not be alone, right? That's the whole purpose in doing this. Let me go through these announcements really, really quick, and then I'm going to pray and we're going to get out of here. Remember, no Bible study Wednesday. Wednesday night we have at 7. It still says the 9th on here. It's not the 9th. It's a different date. Sorry about that, y'all. Wednesday we have the Bible study coming. If you didn't make it and you want to come, let me know. We still have a couple extra books. He's actually going to give me some of the books that he has, and we're going to replenish his stock. But what ends up happening is we want you to have a book. We want you to read. If you're coming, get a hold of me before Wednesday because I need to get you a book because you need to read chapters 2 and 3. The other option is you can go on Kindle or on the Amazon app or on books through your iPad or whatever, and you can download the book. Right? That's like I said, I did it. I think Shane did it. I think there's a couple other people that say I'm much more comfortable on a device than I am on a book because I have my device with me. I don't always have the book, and I can read and I can make it big, whatever. If you want to do that, you're welcome to do that. Just let me know that you're going to be at the class and that you're downloading the book, okay? But get a part of this. This is going to be a good study. This is going to be stuff that we all need. Then we got March 16th and 17th. The food pantry. Come and hang out and be a part of it. Ladies, we have the Waves Bible study starting in Colossians. Were we going to Zoom that or no? We were not. I don't know if we can make it happen next door because we don't have internet next door. It's one of the projects we got to work on. We may be Zooming it. We may not. Ladies, if you're interested in it and you're watching and you don't come, you want to be a part of it, let me know and we'll see if we can't figure some stuff out. Or ladies here, if you can't be a part of it and you want to be a part of it, we'll see what we can do. I'm not making any promises. Just say we'll try. And then the last one is the picnic at the park. March 27th, we're going to have a picnic at North Lake Pavilion, Pavilion number 3. It's going to be immediately following the service. Guys, you guys can sign up on the out there on the table to the right across from the donut so that you'll can bring some stuff. And we're going to play kickball. So sign up if you're going to play kickball so we can know about how many people we're going to have. And it's going to be a good time. This is what I want you to do. Take this word that was given, whether here or the other words that you get, and put it against the Word of God and study it against the Word of God and put what you already have in your mind and in your thought process together with what the Word of God says and make sure that everything that you believe is what comes from Scripture. It's important. Amen? And then find one person a day to tell them about Jesus. And it can't be the same person every day. Like, don't pester one dude for 7 days about Jesus, okay? Like, plant the seed and go someplace else and plant the seed and then go someplace else and plant the seed and go place seed. That's another thing that the enemy will do. He will give you one person. So he gives me April. She's already saved, y'all, but I'm just using her as an example. She will give me April to focus on, and I'm going to focus on April, and I'm going to focus on April, and I'm going to focus on April, and I don't think about Joy and Dwayne and Dawn and Minnie and all of you guys. Why? Because I'm so focused on her and getting her to receive stuff. That ground might not be ready for the seed yet, but that ground might be. So don't just stay at one person, man. Tell different people about Jesus. Amen? Bow your heads. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for today, your love, grace, and mercy. We ask that you would help us this week, that you would give us opportunities to share your love, grace, and mercy, that you would give us people to talk to, Father God, that you would allow us to be who you created us to be and do the ministry that you've created each and every one of us, to live the purpose out for our lives and to glorify you in the middle of it, Father God. We thank you for that. Give us the opportunities. Holy Spirit, give us the power to walk in them and to do it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. We will see you guys next week.